Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 9. Isaiah, chapter 9, we'll read verses 6 and 7 together. We'll read this passage responsively. I'll read verse 6. You'll join me on verse 7. Isaiah, chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah, chapter 9. Verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom, to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for our church. Lord, thank you that there is a place that lifts the name of Jesus very high. Thank you for a church that serves you. We think in these days of that birth of our Savior, and yet every day of the year that birth is important. Though it was a quiet night, not many people knew. For over 2,000 years we've done our best to keep it going. Father, fill our church with your power so we might make it a mighty force in this area, please. With our preacher, fill him with your power in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
This evening, my outline will be quite simple, and you will not have a hard time either remembering it, following it, or figuring out when we're coming toward the end of it, Brother Greenlee. Looks a little bit like the Grinch back there, huh? You know, we read from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, where it says, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God. I love the Christmas carols, as we would call them, the hymns, the songs of our songbook that talk about Jesus and this time of year that we call Christmas. Of course, Jesus was not born in December, but I'm glad that we set aside a time when we celebrate the birth of the Christ child. I loved it earlier when the three- and four-year-old children sang the song, Away in a Manger. I'm not sure that an adult choir could do a better job of strumming the heartstrings of people than did that three- and four-year-old choir of children talking about that manger. I like to hear people talk or sing the song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. I like to hear about the first Noel, Silent Night, and Joy to the World. I like to hear a group sing, Angels We Have Heard on High. I even like some of those novel songs that maybe they're not hymns. I like that song, Chestnuts Roasting or an Open Fire. I have to tell you this story. I was having a Christmas activity for a group of married couples, and a big group of married couples. And we got this fantastic idea, chestnuts roasting or an open fire. We said, we've just got to do that. We've got to try that. We'd never heard of it being, you know, didn't know how to do it, didn't know what we were doing. Got all these raw chestnuts and got a gas grill. Threw a great big old bag of, kind of a half a bushel basket of those things in on top of the grill, shut the lid, turned her on high. Everybody was inside a building, and there were some men out there and had this gas grill out front, all the cars in the parking lot in the building right next door there. One of the men thought, those chestnuts have got to be just about done. He went out and popped the lid open on that thing. I don't know what happens to those things, but they become like rockets. They heated up, and I mean, when he popped the lid, like popcorn, very powerful M80 popcorn. And those nuts got to shooting everywhere. This fella, his name was Mike. I watched him. He ran for the building. He was running for shelter. He left the lid of that thing open. Everybody's cars are parked. You know, they're just surrounding this thing. We're in a steel building. You can hear these chestnuts. They're going, shpang! They're hitting people's cars. They're hitting the building. People are inside mad, but nobody wanted to go out because they did not want to be hurt. So they made Mike crawled out on his belly to close that lid. I like the song, Chestnuts Roasting O'er an Open Fire. Song means, it means different to me today than what it used to. It used to be so romantic, and now it's so bloody and dangerous. You know, if you listen to the songs written by those in previous generations, you can hear the doctrine of the Bible as it's taught throughout those songs. There's a message in each song that was written by those that had been filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and then God helped them to take words and take the doctrine that they had learned and put it to melody and harmony and making it so that we could learn truth with music. There's a message in a song that I want you to hear this evening. I'm going to ask Mrs. Christine McLean to come, and she's going to sing a song for you tonight. I want you to listen to it very, very carefully. There's a message in the song that I want you to remember, and then I'll come back and I'll talk to you about the song.
When I was such a youngster, Christmas meant one thing, that my beginning was a voice that sang. I learned a whole lot different when Mother set me down and taught me to spell Christmas this way. He is for the Christ child, born of us this day, each for herald angels in the sky. Armies our Redeemer, armies Israel, as if for the star that shone so bright. He is for three wise men, they who traveled far. M is for the manger where he lay. A for all he stands for, that's me, shepherd's name. And that's why there's a Christmas day. And that's why there's a Christmas day.
That outline is the outline for my sermon tonight. C-H-R-I-S-T-M-A-S. And it's easier than studying. And so I want to talk to you about that for just a little while. C is for the Christ child. You know that is what Christmas is all about. Jesus, the prophesied Messiah, the Savior. Let me tell you something. The world sometimes has a hard time accepting that. Let me read a verse to you. The Bible says, and the devils also came out of many, crying and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. That's Luke chapter 4, verse number 41. Did you know that even the devils are smart enough to know that Jesus was the Christ child? When the world says, oh no, the world's dumber than the devil. The devil here admits, you are Christ, the Son of God. See, Jesus was not just a good man. He was God's Son. He was not one of many gods. He is Jehovah God, the one and only true God. He's not one of many, he's one of a kind. C is for the Christ child. Let's never lose track of it. That's what Christmas is really all about. H. H, as the song says, is for the herald angels that sang. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse 13 and 14, and suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good and goodwill toward men. Here the Bible says that they were proclaiming the arrival of the Christ. I'm not sure that they sang it right there, but I do know they proclaimed it. The angels were talking about the Christ that we just spoke of. Now, folks, angels are real. What I don't want you to do is don't believe everything that Hollywood tells you about them, because Hollywood knows nothing about the true angels of God. But there are angels, and angels are real, and angels are... I believe that the angels watch out for me and for you. I think the angels are God-given, and there's so many stories in the Bible about angels, and I believe in angels. But you know something? I believe this. I believe you and I, we have one up on all the angels, and I'll tell you why. You see, they spake of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. They can talk about Him being the Son of God. They could sing about Him being the great Son of God. But you know something? You and I can sing a song the holy angels cannot sing. We can sing about Him being our Savior and our Redeemer. You see, the angels can't sing of Him as being Savior. The angels have not been redeemed, but you and I have been redeemed. We have a special relationship. When we get to heaven, you're going to think of the angels and say, oh, wow, there are the angels. That's magnificent. Look at that. They're going to look back at you and say, right, there's one of God's kids. Right, there's one of the people that God sent His Son to die for. Oh, there's one of the redeemed. We look up to the angels, and just so you know, the angels look up to you because you are one of God's children. C is for that Christ child. H is for the herald angels sing. R is for our Redeemer. Romans chapter 3, verse number 24 says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. He is our Redeemer. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You see, God created man, but man fell into sin. The consequences of that fall would be death and hell, and separated from God for all eternity. And Jesus said, I would like to fix that up, God. I'll go down. See, there was a debt that needed to be paid because of the sin of man, but man could not pay the debt on his own. Jesus said, Father, I'll go down. I'll be born of a virgin. I'll live a 33 and a half years, a sinless life. I'll willingly sacrifice my life. I'll die for those people. I'll be buried for those people. I'll be resurrected for those people. I'll go buy back those people down there. I'll go fix it up. And that's exactly what He did. That's what Christmas is all about. You see, with Jesus as the payment, God buys us back for Himself. That's what it means when we use that letter R and talking about a Redeemer. We are the purchased property of Jesus Christ. We were bought by the blood of the Lamb. You see, a simple song packed full of doctrine. C, the Christ child. H, about those angels and their singing. R is about the Redeemer. I is for Israel. Matthew chapter 2, verse number 6, it says, and now Bethlehem in the land of Judah, and not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people, Israel. Israel, God's chosen people. That name God gave to Jacob and his descendants. God promises the nation of Israel the possession of the land of Canaan. Now, you'll look at the Jewish people and you look at the country of Israel, and indeed those things are special. But let me let you in on a little something that so many people miss. Do you realize that you and I that are born again in a spiritual sense, we are citizens of Israel. We are, in a spiritual sense, we are the Jews. And guess what? We're on our way to the heaven heavenly Canaan ourselves. We are going to get the promised land that is far better than the earthly promised land that had been promised to Jacob. People say, well, what about the Jews and what about Israel? Hey, I think we ought to watch out for Israel. I think God will bless America as long as America is good to Israel. And I think the Jewish race is a chosen race. But guess what? I've got the blood of our heavenly Father, the bloodline through Jesus Christ. Hey, that's the blood that's been applied to my account. I am in a spiritual sense a Jew, and I'm heading for a Canaan land that will become the possession of all born-again people. I is for Israel. S is for the star that led the people to that manger of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Here the Bible talks about this star that was in the east. It was a star that shone so that these folks could find the Christ child. The star led people to Jesus Christ. The Bible says in the book of Daniel, chapter 12, that those that lead many to righteousness shall be as the stars forever and ever. You know what, folks? We have a chance to be a star just like that star in Bethlehem. You say, how so? We too can shine a light. We too can lead people to Jesus Christ, the Savior. The Bible says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. The Bible says, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in, that my Father's house might be full. The Bible says, for the Son of Man is coming to seek and to save that which was lost. Hey, we have a chance to be like that star. You and I should be leading people to the Christ child. We should be leading people to Jesus Christ. And I want to thank God. What a great group of folks we have here at our church. Oh, many, many people being saved. And I'm not just talking about on Sunday morning. I'm talking about Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. But wait a minute. We get around here, I get reports of people being saved on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Sunday. It happens during Thanksgiving. It happens during Christmas. It happens during the resurrection, Easter Sunday. It happens in the middle of the summer. Hey, people get saved on Groundhog Day around here. S is for that star. And that star led people to where Jesus was. Be a star. Lead people to where Jesus is. That simple little song. C is for that Christ child. H is for the herald angels that sang. R is for our Redeemer. I is for Israel. S is for the star that led people to Christ in his manger. T, we give credit for that letter T, for those three wise men that sought him. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. They come, they have three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I love, you've heard it said before, it is worth our hearing again. Here we see that wise men were seeking him. And just so you know, wise men still seek him. You say, I'm not so wise. Then seek him and become a wise man. For he has the wisdom that you need in life. Wisdom is that ability to see life from God's perspective. Do you realize that if you could get wisdom, the wisdom of God in your life, you could better see things the way that God sees it? The most successful people that I've ever met, the most successful Christians that I've ever met, are people that have insight into life. They have a wisdom. They have a way about them where they see maybe what others do not see. And I'm not talking about something spooky. I'm talking about a biblical spiritual insight that helps us to realize what life is really all about. Wise men still seek him. Wise men, here in this story, they gave gold and frankincense and myrrh. I believe wise men still give to the Savior. I believe wise men still give to the cause of Christ. I just swell up with pride. I hope not sinful pride, but I swell up with pride and joy. You know, sometimes over the holiday days and throughout the year, we have all sorts of preachers and pastors and missionaries and evangelists. They come to look at our church. They come to see if what they've heard is true, and what they come to watch us. They come to look at us. Every time they come, I want to say at offering time, I always want to tell them, here's a church, we pay all of our bills. I don't have to get in the pulpit and constantly beg for money. Here's a church that God has blessed us, and God has taken care of us, and God is meeting our need. Now listen to me. You don't know how much that means to me as a pastor. You don't know how much that means to our church's testimony. You don't know how much that means. Do you know in a midst when people at the banks were not wanting to lend money to anybody, when we came around, they said, you know what, your testimony is so strong, you've proven yourself so well, we'll help you build that building. We'll help you to get that money. Listen, wise men still seek him. Wise men still give to him. Let us be faithful, and let's continue. Let's have another great year here at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. T for those three wise men. Then we see M, that letter M. M is for the manger where he lay. Luke chapter 2, verse number 7, it says, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. You know, we hear the story over and over again. There was no room for them in the inn. Let me ask you a question this evening. Is there any room for him in your house? Don't get the impression that you're only to live for God when you're down at his house. You're to live for God at your house. Just so you know, what you really are is what you are at your house, not what you are at God's house. Is there no room for him in your house? Is there no room for him in your career? Could I warn you, career-minded achiever, that if you are so busy making money that you have no time for God, you're too busy. You are too busy. I want you to succeed. I think you ought to put your best foot forward, and if you're going to do it right, and throw yourself into it. There's no reason in the world for the Christians of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church to fail. Not at all. Not at all. But if you succeed at your career and you fail at being a good Christian, you would have been better off being a flunky and succeeding in your Christianity than going out and failing at your Christianity and succeeding at your career. Is there room for him in your home? Is there room for him in your career? Is there room for him in your business? You know something? I believe this, and I'm not going to make you any health and wealth promises, but I believe this. I believe business people that will make sure that they keep Christ in their business and make sure they honor God with their business behavior, I believe God will bless your business. I believe that those that may have a real shot at having some prosperity in the upcoming year, where some are predicting going to be rough, I'll tell you, if I owned a business, I'd be making sure I kept Jesus right smack dab in the middle of that thing, because if God were going to bless some business in America, I guess he'd bless the ones that were keeping Christ as the center of their business. You see, indeed, as a pastor, I'm to keep Christ as the focal center point of this church and that Christian school over there and whatever's going on around here. And as a father, every dad here is obligated to keep Jesus Christ in the center of your home. Hey, and every person is to keep Christ in the center of their career or their life. But let me tell you something. Every businessman here should keep Christ as the center of your business. Hey, we talk about there was no room for him in the inn, and he went and he was born in a stall and in a manger. Let me ask, is there room in your life for the Christ child? And we go on to the letter A. The song sings, A is for all he stands for. Colossians 3:11, I love this verse. It says, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, but nor free, but Christ is all and in all. A is for all that he stands for. We could talk all night long. Matter of fact, we could talk for the rest of eternity of all that Jesus stands for. Jesus is love.
Jesus is forgiveness and joy and peace and truth and purity and goodness and honesty. Everything that's good can be attributed to Jesus Christ. He is our all in all. Christmas. C is for the Christ child. H is for those herald angels that sang. R is for our Redeemer. I is for Israel. S is for the star that led the people to Christ's manger. T is for the three wise men. M is for that manger where he lay. A is for all that he stands for. Then finally, the concluding letter, S. S for the shepherds that took part in the story. Luke chapter 2 verse number 8 says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night." A shepherd is one who cares for the flocks. It's a wonderful thing. God calls you and I sheep, and we're like lambs. And Jesus is our great shepherd. What an honor then. God allows a pastor to be called a shepherd. I enjoy what I do. I want to be a shepherd. I want to be a shepherd. I don't know about the other men on staff, but I can tell you something. I love shepherding. I love it. I even love helping the sheep that get a little contrary from time to time. You know, in the Bible and on a farm, especially in years gone by, they had this staff and had a big old staff and had a little hook on the end of it. You ever seen one of those that shepherds used? I don't know why they don't give those to pastors. I'd be satisfied with a baseball bat just to use something every once in a while. Oh, but I love being a shepherd. Oh, there's so much here in the definition of what a shepherd is. God's people being compared to sheep, and Jesus is our good shepherd. He can lead us, and he can protect us, and he watches out for us. The song, C-H-R-I-S-T-M-A-S. If we would just stop and listen to some of the songs, I think we would see doctrine. I think we would see God. Now, you won't find any scripture in Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. You won't find the true story of Christ. But as you look and we see this song, I think we see Christmas and what it really is.